Who would have thunk it? The Bears 4-1. Don't sit there at home and say, I thought the Bears were going to be 4-1. I thought that Nick Foles would replace Mitchell Trubisky early in the season. In fact, I thought, Carm, that Foles would start week one, even though there wasn't training camp or anything. But hey, that's where we're at. And I'm optimistic. I'm going to have Kevin Kaduk from the Midway Minute, who does great work. You should check out the Midway Minute on the podcast today. But defense coming up. Foles having some awkward moments, and maybe we need to lower our expectations, but yet those expectations are still higher than Mitchell Trubisky expectations. I think that's fair. Interesting stuff elsewhere, too. The Blackhawks moving on from Corey Crawford. I didn't really see that coming. I figured Crow would be back here for at least one more season, maybe two, on a team-friendly deal. Let him retire a Blackhawk, but not to be. And the baseball playoffs, sure, the Cubs and the White Sox are both eliminated. But the way these playoffs are going makes me kind of look closer at the way the playoffs ended for both the Sox and the Cubs. Without further ado, by the way, please like, give a rating, 5 stars. I appreciate it. Kevin Kaduk, after this Bears mini little montage on DeWindy City.
Showtime.
Santos got it. Hawks playing without Godwin, without Watson. 4th down and 5. Brady passes, broken up, incomplete, and the Chicago Bears are going to take over.
Bringing in our pal, Kevin Kaduk, who's got the Midway Minute that you should be reading every single damn day. Ain't that right, Kevin?
Yeah, pretty much. 6 days a week right now with the pregame newsletter, and you can sign up at midwayminute.win. I think I was on this podcast pushing it way back in March, and I remember walking in to the office and you being like all weird and not wanting to shake my hand and me thinking, what the hell's wrong with this guy? And like a week later, I was like, oh, Mark was a man ahead of his time. And ever since, we haven't seen each other in person.
Is that true? The virus was out, but we were still going into the office?
That's right. I think I want to say that was maybe like the first week of March, and I walked in and you're like, let's do an elbow bump. I'm like, all right, man. So I give you credit for being a germaphobe and turning me on to the seriousness of what was about to happen.
I was going to say, you were, once we started DeWindy City, maybe it was still on the mark at that point, I don't remember, but we were going into a new level of doing video for the podcast in studio, and then that ended like a week later. But I forgot that the virus was out at that point. I definitely remember the day, and having you into the old fan-sided offices, which I miss, by the way, even though I guess I'm allowed back in there, but nobody else seems to want to come in, and I get it. But all right, yeah. And there was nobody at Soldier Field last night either, but they would have been booing Nick Foles had there been somebody there, Kevin. I'm not sure. Do you think that he's going to get better, or this is who he is?
I think it's who he is. Obviously, last night, the first half was pretty concerning when you saw him missing the throws that Mitch Trubisky was missing, and Foles was supposedly brought in to make those throws. And, I mean, just one look at Twitter, I mean, everyone was gearing up, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, am I writing, put Mitch Trubisky back in? Am I writing, fire Ryan Pace this instant?
Don't write
and the... Then, yeah, and then he just puts it back together. I don't know what's in this dude's DNA when it comes to a comeback, but it's like he has to be up against it to actually produce. And, like, that's not great for Bears or Bears fans and their heart rates, but, I mean, maybe that's just how it's going to be.
Well, the one throw that freaked me out was the Darnell Mooney one, where he made a great move, and they showed it 7 zillion times, and he was open by 13 feet, and it was as if Nick Foles was Mark Harmon on the Thanksgiving Day field and missed him by, I don't know, 5 yards? That was brutal. Yeah. And maybe it was the pass rush and he couldn't step up, but that was, like, stunningly bad.
That stuff kind of happens, but when it came on the tail end of, like, another two or three bad throws, that's where it's kind of like, okay, what the hell's going on? And then they just kind of figured it out. And, I mean, you look at this team, and, yeah, they could easily be 0-5. They could be 2-3, 3-2, you know, whatever permutation you come up with, it's possible for this team. But they also have talent. They have, you know, ways to get the job done. So, you know, we know that teams don't, you know, what they start out with in September is not what they are in December. So there could be some sort of progression and some sort of line, then maybe the Bears are in good shape. And I think what we saw against the Buccaneers was somewhat of a progression, you know, not only from, you know, the offense in the second half. And it's okay, they didn't even score a touchdown in the second half, but I think they did what they needed to do. But the defense really stepped up. And to me, that was the most impressive thing about that night was like old Chicago Bears defense, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, Khalil Mack actually looked like Khalil Mack, and by the way, the Bears need Khalil Mack to look like Khalil Mack. Robert Quinn looks like Leonard Floyd, which is not great. Danny Trevathan showed up a lot more last night. Kyle Fuller had a sweet hit. I saw some people comparing it to, like, the greatest hits in Bears secondary history. I don't know where you rank the Todd Bell crack of Joe Washington in 1984. Do you go back that deep? Kevin, I feel like you probably do. It wasn't, like, that level to me when he just literally killed someone, but it was a 20-20 sweet tackle play. So, the defense, you're right, the defense looked better, which if the Bears are going to actually do something this year, they're going to need that defense to get back to being closer to elite.
Yeah, no question. And I think that Fuller's hit on Keyshawn Vaughn, like if this actually ends up being a special season, and, you know, like we've got a long way to go for that to actually be, but that was obviously a season-changing hit because you get the ball back there at the Buccaneers' 27-yard line. Foles finds Graham for just a big boy touchdown in the corner of the end zone, and they've got a 14-13 lead at halftime. And we were sitting there with 7 minutes left to go in the first half, and the Bears were down 13-0. And, you know, you can't understate how big of a turnover that was. And it's something that I think the Bears defense, while they've been great, and not great, but they've been good these first five games, they really missed that really big turnover early in the game that really changed things and gave the offense the short field that it needs.
Spirit of the law, letter of the law, I did not think that was a catch and a fumble. I'm sorry, maybe by the letter of the law, maybe so, but bang, bang, that's a drop if you caught the ball world. He wasn't. I was just
happy it wasn't a unnecessary roughness penalty on Fuller because he's been called for penalties like that before.
Yeah, that would have made me puke.
To get the ball was just a plus.
Yep, I think there should be a waiver, Kevin. Football is dangerous. I am still going to play it. I love it, and I make lots of money. I'm willing to risk concussions, ACL, not walking, not being able to think, all of it, so I can play this game that I love, and let's get back to real football. I know that's not ever going to happen. I get it. Kevin, let's just take a look at the running game here. You're talking about 14 carries. You're talking about 35 yards. You're talking about being able to run out the clock, or at least down to about 30 seconds and still throwing the football late because, A, you don't trust the run game, I guess, but that's not really it. You don't trust your kicker, so you're trying to get more. all of it's bizarre to me. Do you think that they're ever going to run the football this year? Because I'm starting to believe that they won't.
Well, look, James Daniels tore his pec muscle and is perhaps out for the year, which I think is really obviously injurious to the overall health of that offensive line because I think he was a big part of that line kind of coming together. I don't think that they were all pro level. I don't think they were approaching what the Colts are, but I think they were getting better. And if Daniels is not there, it's a big deal. I didn't have a problem with them throwing the ball to Allen Robinson, trying to put the game away there. Just because of the, you know, you don't have a lot of faith in Santos. You brought in Kai Forbath in the middle of the week for a workout. So I get it. And you know, if you didn't think you were going to be able to pick up the yards on the ground, that's fine. You're throwing the ball to Allen Robinson. But I will say, like, Allen Robinson has been losing, like, too many 50-50 balls for my liking. I don't know how much is his fault and how much is the quarterback's fault, but that needs to be fixed. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with it. I think with Nick Foles, you're going to be throwing the ball a lot of times. But I also think that David Montgomery is a talented back, and you need to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands as many times as possible. You know, even if it's not handoffs, you know, if you can increase his receptions and figure out a way for him to get the ball more, I think it's an overall plus for the Bears.
Yeah, I got you. 4-1 here. What is it, October the 9th? Give me a prediction, Kevin. How many wins for the Bears?
Man, a platform for 4-1. You know, right now, 538 has them at 74% odds of making the playoffs. And remember that 7 teams per conference get in this year. So I think it's good. You know, at the beginning of the year, I went through and I, and then this was back in April and May when I think everyone was a little bit more optimistic or whatever. I had them at 10-6. You know, you still got the Vikings twice. You got the Lions out there. Maybe you get a split against the Packers. I'll say 10-6. Why not? It's Victory Friday. I'm feeling optimistic. 10-6, I will be happy with, and that will get you in the playoffs with split 17.
I'm way more optimistic now, even with some of the things we're saying. But look, Nick Foles, fine, not perfect, not close to perfect, but still an upgrade, at least in my mind. The defense has been rough, but I do think they are starting to get there. The Mac thing, I think, feels huge. And he was off the injury list for the first time all season, so maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. And he's got – and by the way, they just got through a Thursday night game, so he has all the way till next Sunday to heal up. I'm optimistic here, Kevin. I think they're in the playoffs. I would lay my Carm $5 down that the Bears –
Are you willing to push it to 11 or 12 victories?
No.
Okay.
But I feel good with 10. I think 10 is –
okay.
I think 10's happening. I do.
I think that's solid.
Yeah. All right, let's spray around here a little bit. Corey Crawford, the Crow Man, apparently an emotional conversation, according to Stan Bowman yesterday. Bowman, the Blackhawks GM, telling Crawford that you and us are done. Let's have a breakup at 35. You will go play elsewhere and make money. And thank you, by the way, for 260 wins, 2 Stanley Cups, and back-to-back 30-win seasons to the first Blackhawk goalie to do that since Ed Belfour, all of it. Your favorite thing about Crow?
I always just kind of like his personality. You know, goalies have unique personalities. Some are prickly, some are weird. I think Crawford was kind of a little bit of a mix, kind of like, you know, leaning a little bit more towards the weird side. But, you know, I like that he always stood up in the face of criticism. I think that Chicago hockey fans, the Chicago casual hockey fans really like to look at the goalie and turn it into like a Bears quarterback situation, and either or, you know, either the guy sucks or he's great. And he took a lot of the brunt of the criticism. And I think early on in his career, when he was still kind of finding his way, some of that criticism was warranted. And, you know, he didn't have a great opening to the 2015 playoffs, but he let Scott Darling come in, win that Predator series. And then the switch was made, and he easily could have won the Conn Smythe in 2015 when all was said and done. I think Patrick Kane says they don't win the third cup without Crawford, and they certainly don't win the 2013 one when he had a couple big games there too. So, you know, I think he was just kind of a cool guy. You know, he had his share of issues, his share of injury issues. But, you know, he was a Blackhawk, and I think kind of when all is said and done, he's never going to get the recognition that a Kane, a Taze, a Keith, a Seabrook gets. But, you know, he's right there. I think just as important as anybody else with hanging two of those three banners. So I think it's kind of a sad day to see him go. I'm not sure that it had to happen.
Me neither.
But at the yeah, it, you know, at the same time, it's like, okay, well, if you're paying Seabrook $6-7 million a year.
Ouch.
By the way, Brent Seabrook, here's a fact for you. Brent Seabrook is signed through the end of this next presidential administration,
oh,
whoever it is.
Oof.
So when you make decisions like that and you're paying Andrew Shaw and you're paying Brandon Saad for whatever it is he does, you know, this is the decisions that need to be made. And I think a lot of people who still haven't been brought over to Crawford's side, and I'm not exactly sure that those people still exist. That almost feels like a little bit of a straw man argument for me, for something for, you know, Hawks fans to just kind of complain about on Twitter. But if those people do exist, they're really going to be brought over to Crawford's side once we go into a full season with Delia and Lincoln, if that's in fact what the Blackhawks plan on doing.
Which is why I kind of find it bizarre. Is Corey Crawford going to get a ton of money in the offseason here? I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like...
The free agent goalie list is pretty deep, and it's not like he's at the top of the list. For a 36-year-old with a history of injuries, you know, it kind of seems like, you know, that $5 or $6 million that maybe he wants is not out there. But if all the Hawks were offering was 3.5, I'm sure he can go out and find $4 or $4.5 million somewhere else. And, you know, I don't think you or I would turn down an extra $1 million a year.
No, I guess that's fair. And maybe I just have problems ever letting go of players that contribute the way Corey Crawford has contributed. I still, on some level, yeah, want Kerry Wood pitching for the Cubs, and I want Ozzie Guillen playing short for the Sox, and I wouldn't mind.
You know, the crazy thing is he was drafted by the Blackhawks in 2003. Like, I can't even get my head around that. Like, he has been in that organization for almost two full decades. And, you know, for him to, you know, and he was in the organization for almost a decade before he even came up. You know, the road for an NHL goalie is long. So maybe, you know, Adelia or Lankinen follows along that same path, but I don't think it's going to be instantaneous, and I think there will be growing pains.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Let's wrap up with a little baseball here. I just want to throw something at you because
Sure. Maybe
it doesn't matter, but I feel like it matters at least a little bit. If you look at what's going on, the NLCS is set, Braves and the Dodgers. The Braves, mm-hmm, both teams sweeping their ways in. So.
Yes.
The Cubs lose to the Marlins. They score one run, and then Miami goes and gets smoked by Atlanta. I think that's not great. And then the other thing that's not great, I thought the White Sox were a better team than Oakland. They lose to Oakland, obviously. And then the A's go, and they lose 3-1 to an Astros team, by the way, that was 500. They're not the all-powerful Astros. Maybe they're hot right now. But I would almost hypothesize that the A's, who only played 6 games against teams over 500, were so damn ripe to be beaten, and just somehow, some way, the White Sox just didn't do it. So it's, I think there's a little extra pain for both baseball teams as the playoffs are going on right now, and seeing that the teams that they lost to really kind of were, I'm not saying going to say pathetic, but they weren't World Series champions. Let's put it that way.
Look, I know the Cubs had their problems. I don't think that there was any excuse in losing to that Marlins team. No matter what anyone says, no matter what excuses people want to give that lineup, whatever deficiencies the lineup has, that was a team that lost 105 games last year. And I know that they have young pitching, and I know they did well, but whatever. There was no excuse for that. The White Sox series kind of felt like a coin flip. I really felt like going in, you know, to this postseason, this wasn't the White Sox year, just because you could see that they just didn't quite have the pitching. I don't know how you go into 4 rounds of playoffs with 2 starters and then you're bringing out Tommy McBullpen for the third decisive game. Like, how are you possibly going to win a World Series that way? It's not going to happen.
It's fair.
Yeah, it's disappointing that you fell against the Oakland, but I think that last game was a coin flip, and it happens. I think that, you know, the important part is that both front offices look and say, look, these are our deficiencies, and we have a plan to fix them. Now, will they have money to fix them? In the Cubs case, maybe, maybe not. I have no idea how the Cubs are going to fix this plane while it's in the air. I really don't. I don't feel great about that. The Sox, to me, seems a little bit more straightforward. You need a starter. You need at least a little bit better of a platoon situation in right field. You know, maybe an extra bat, And I think Reinsdorf at this point in his life wants that extra World Series and will go out and write the check. But it still remains to be seen. I think it's going to be an interesting winter for both teams.
Along those lines, I would punt on literally every White Sox need to make sure you are at the top of the market for Trevor Bauer. If you don't get him, and you want, that's what I would do. Don't, Jose Quintana's nice or whatever you want to, or anybody else that's a depthful starter. But Trevor Bauer changes the dynamic of who you are. That makes you the prohibitive favorite, at least in my mind. And he's a free agent, has a relationship with Tim Anderson that we saw. Why wouldn't he want to be a Chicago White Sox and come here? It's like perfect. Change the game, the whole thing.
But he's flirting with the Red Sox and Yankees on Twitter. It's like, come on, Trevor. Like, don't do that. You bring in Bauer. You have two co-aces with Lucas Giolito. That pushes Keiko back to the third starter. And then you've got Kopech, if he's back, Dunning, and Cease just trying to figure out 4 and 5. And if those guys progress like they should, if you have those guys running out every fourth and fifth day, man, that's a good position to be in.
Yep, that would be sweet, as they put it. Kevin, I told you 23 minutes. We're right at it here, so you get to go now.
Beauty.
You and your wife are going to do something incredibly special today. Not to get personal here on the Windy City podcast. I'm talking about like doing the dishes or going on a walk or whatever the hell it is. So
we're going to take a deep breath after all this e-learning and do something good with our kids.
There we go.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mark.
There we go. All right, everybody subscribe to the Midway Minute or we will hunt you down and beat you up. And by the way, do the same thing for the Windy City podcast. Give a rating. Tell me how much you love this podcast. Give it 5 stars. I can't accept anything else. Otherwise, my ego will be bruised and I won't be able to go on. So thank you so much for listening. Kevin, thanks for being on, brother.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right.